Shana, Tova, Tiki Te Vu, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with our very special lady and lover of God's Word, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
And shalom aleichem to all. And yes, we love the Word of God, and know you do too. Because without it, how could we ever truly know Him?
We couldn't. No way.
We are continuing our study in Hebraic Roots 101. Rosh Hashanah's Feast of Trumpets that ended at sundown just a little bit ago in Ohio, although about 7 hours ago in Israel, which means we have just entered the days of awe and near the end of Teshuvah on Yom Kippur next week. Let us now give thanks to the Lord for His appointments that He made for all of mankind.
O Lord, our God, we humbly thank You for all Your creation. You are a perfect God, full of wisdom, mercy, and love. May we, as Your servants, bring You much pleasure and a smile to Your face. We continue to long for a deeper presence of Your glory and divine protection during these today's trying times. We lift up to You these recent prayer requests for our lost loved ones and salvation as we push through the darkness that surrounds us, knowing an assured everlasting victory lies ahead. Meanwhile, we will continue in our quest, speaking truth to the lost as we anxiously await Your return. Please watch over those who were called by Your name during this hurricane system and hitting Florida soon. And may tonight's program bless you and those who are listening. We pray in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, as I said, we are still in Teshuvah, and besides the hurricanes, Pakistan is reporting a biblical catastrophe of over 40 days of plummeting storms, taking out huge portions of land, leaving many enormous lakes over what was once cities. It's really bad there.
Pray Jesus meets them and many get saved.
Amen. We are beginning to hear a lot of reports about how the FBI is targeting conservatives, especially pro-life Christians, as in Mr. Hawk from Pennsylvania, who was praying outside an abortion clinic with his young son. Well, the FBI soon raided his home, rifles in hand, at 7 a.m. in front of his wife and seven children, who were screaming. They charged him with obstructing access to an abortion clinic and was later released to have to later appear in court. Apparently, a man was screaming vulgar slurs at his son, so Mr. Hawk, also a missionary to drug addicts, moved forward to the guy and asked him to stop, but he would not. So Mr. Hawk pushed him away when the man fell back and then pressed charges. Mr. Hawk now faces 11 years in prison.
You know, that's such a two-tiered system of justice.
No kidding. Because they don't even go after the real criminals. This is a typical undercover coercion to push conservatives into doing or saying the wrong thing, so then can be harassed and scared into submission.
It's all to control us.
And remember, John 15:20 says, if they persecute me, they will also persecute you. And we are there, saints.
But we must stand firm.
Yes, walk in Your calling, for many are the afflictions of the righteous, but He will deliver us.
And it'll be worth it after all.
Oh, for sure. And you know what? I think we should close tonight with that old-time gospel tune.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we will.
Well, thank you, honey.
All right.
And by the way, the left, starting with Stacey Abrams, who's running for governor in Georgia, says that the heartbeat heard on an ultrasound of a mother's baby is fake and is actually an electric pulse made by the machine.
You know, sadly, some believe that.
And everyone is talking about the nuclear threat made by Russia because it appears he is losing in Ukraine. And he's also calling for more army volunteers.
But they are not agreeing.
And some are actually being arrested for refusing to enlist. Therefore, many men are fleeing Russia to other places, especially to Finland, who has open-door policy for asylum seekers. And much protesting is happening in Iran over a 20-year-old refusing to wear her head covering in public, in which they arrested and killed her.
Although Iran insists she had a heart attack.
But the people are furious, and their new president, Raisi, from last year, is cracking down big time, even turning off their internet.
And closed the universities.
Yet still, he was asked to speak at the UN General Assembly last week, even though this is the same guy back in their 1979 revolution who was responsible for thousands of deaths.
He also warned the U.S. not to get involved.
And there are also protests over this situation in other countries, too, like in Germany, France, and Canada, and over here as well. But here's some good news out of all this. Christianity in Iran is growing, I'm told, by leaps and bounds.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Okay, you can send your end time question by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Your love offerings are really needed and greatly appreciated, which will add you to our mailing list. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and teaching newsletters are archived for your added learning.
And they're still free. Okay, we are talking about Rosh Hashanah, which has many significant identifiable titles that is important to look at for it is the new year.
Or chief of the year.
Right, it's a new beginning. Rosh means head and Shana means year.
And their meals include fruit and honey.
Yes, to symbolize a sweet new year. So, of course, that also means it's the anniversary of the creation of Adam and Eve.
Yep.
And you have another title for Rosh Hashanah?
Yom Terah.
Meaning the day of the awakening blast of the righteous. Another name?
The coronation.
Yep.
Because all kings were coronated on Rosh Hashanah.
And so we believe Jesus Christ will be crowned king as well on Rosh Hashanah when we all arrive in heaven.
Another clue, we will leave at this time.
Mm-hmm. As Jesus follows his own customs, that's why he came to us. They also sing Psalm 45, which is all about the Messiah and his bride. And they bake a round loaf of bread to symbolize a crown.
Well, you know, another is open the gates.
Right, Isaiah 26:2 says, open the gates that the righteous may enter in.
You know, they're closed on Yom Kippur.
Right, and that's called the Nilah, which coincides with Yeshua's return at the end of the tribulation. Those who have not accepted Jesus by then, it will be too late.
The gates are closed.
And we'll talk more about that next week.
Also called the Day of Judgment.
And actually, there's two of these, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. You know, God is the Ancient of Days sitting upon the throne in Daniel 7, while books containing the deeds of the righteous are opened before him, also confirmed in Matthew 3:16, which is why it is also called
Day of Remembrance. Okay.
Right. And another idiomatic phrase used for Rosh Hashanah is?
No one knows the day or the hour.
Because it lasts 2 days. Mark 13:35, as we did study a couple weeks for quite a bit, says this.
Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming.
And now here comes the light bulb.
In the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning.
Jesus is being literally specific here. And that's within a 24-hour period, and it'll be 2 days in a row.
Also, arise.
Well, obviously, for it's the resurrection of the dead.
Another expression for Rosh Hashanah is the hidden day.
Because it's on the new moon that is barely visible the first night, which is why it lasts for 2 days, to be sure they saw it and would then usher in the next month. Again, a type of new beginnings. Always cooking a festive meal, as confirmed in 1 Samuel 20. And remember this Jewish rule. Only on a Sabbath or a new moon could anyone see the king or a man of God. And that's confirmed in 2 Kings 4:23.
Another hint, we're leaving on a new moon.
And Rosh Hashanah is also considered a high Sabbath as well. And Psalm 81:3 in the original says to
blow the trumpet at the time of the new moon on our feast day.
That would be Rosh Hashanah because it's the only feast that starts with the new moon. Again, the beginning of the month is determined by the first visible sighting, and the shofar is blown in one long blast. Numbers 10:10 states that silver trumpets should also be blown at all new moons to sanctify the day and the offerings. However, on the new moon of Rosh Hashanah, 100 shofars were blown to differentiate that it was also the new year.
And at the last trumpet sound, they will celebrate.
That's right. When any new month is announced, the people have fellowship. And after a blessing is said, the traditional greeting of peace are given to one another, saying, Shalom Aleichem.
Peace be with you.
The response is, Aleichem Shalom.
Upon you, peace.
And you know, I remember as a Catholic saying that during Mass as well. Anyway, each new month was a time of fresh dedication to Yahweh and of blessing him while seeking his direction for the days ahead. Okay, another name is
the wedding of the Messiah.
Yes, and Jesus uses wedding terminology often. And it was the father that decided when the groom should go get his bride. You know, when the Hadar of Isaiah 26, the wedding chamber, was ready to his specifications. And she didn't know for sure when that would be, but she did have many hints from the groom's close friends if it was getting close.
And our hints are increasing right now.
Still waiting for one more biggest hint.
Right. Serious talk of dividing Jerusalem.
And by the way, we have the same friends as Jesus did. Remember the two who showed up at the Transfiguration, Matthew 17:3?
Moses and Elijah.
Yes. So our friends too, because Moses penned the Torah, and Elijah is known as the prophet over all the prophets who penned many scriptures and who tell us how it will be and what signs to look for. We can now see even more clearly because God is revealing more to the last generation. Check out Hebrews 10:25. Anyhow, let's talk a little bit more about the first century Jewish wedding. And since Yeshua was raised Jewish, we can compare it as to how it will be with us, his bride.
There are four phases.
Yes, there are. First one's betrothment, either arranged by the father, sometimes from birth, or the young man himself can ask, or there could even be a matchmaker, as was the case of Isaac in Genesis 24.
And we can claim all three of them.
Yes, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, our matchmaker, who actually woos us to the right situation, enhanced by others' prayers.
So, never stop praying for your loved ones.
Amen. So, we became betrothed when we accepted his spiritual Passover by applying the blood and inviting Yeshua into our hearts and promised to love no other God. Back in the first century, if the prospective bride accepted his proposal, she must drink from the offered cup of wine.
He would then pay the bride price.
And if the father accepts the price, he would pull out a white linen cloth and give it to the young man for use on his honeymoon. The typology here, of course, is that Jesus, too, paid the bride price with his blood on the cross and was wrapped in a white linen cloth.
Then the young man would give her gifts.
And we, too, receive gifts from the Holy Spirit. Then the young virgin would learn more about him by speaking with his closer friends.
While he was preparing a place for her at his father's house.
And in John 14:2, Jesus also said he would go and prepare a place for us.
And he said, I will come again and receive you to myself.
And again, the special place is called a hadar, or a wedding chamber.
Isaiah 26:20.
So back to the young virgin who would now prepare herself and also partake in a ceremonial cleansing called a mikvah.
That's kind of like our water baptism.
Oh, it is. Which is why we do a total immersion, just like they did.
And how John the Baptist did.
Mm-hmm. Then she would study her contract called a ketubah, which outlined his promises and her responsibilities.
For us, it's our Bible.
And as we just said, the maiden would speak to the groom's friends to learn more about him, as we also learn more about him through his autobiography penned by Yeshua's friends. Then the maiden waits for the sound of the trumpet to meet him to escort her in a chariot to his father's house for the big wedding under the huppah.
Just like we anxiously await.
For sure. We all long to hear that loud teruah trumpet, a shout to meet Yeshua for our big wedding. But first, we will see Jesus crowned as king. And after our wedding under heaven's huppah, God will give us our rewards.
And a queen's crown.
It's hard to even imagine the scope of it all.
1 Corinthians 2:9.
Yeah, it's unimaginable. Then there's the honeymoon, or the Shabuah, which means seven, and this is very important to understand.
Yeah, it must be a period of seven.
Exactly, because that's a complete number. In those days, it was usually 7 days or a week. But if you had money, it could last for 7 weeks. But it had to be seven. Anything less would annul the marriage. Let's read that scripture in Genesis 29, where Jacob just realized, for it was dark, that he had not married Rachel, but rather her older cousin, or older sister, Leah, instead. And he was outraged. Jacob quickly exited the hadar, the wedding chamber, to speak with her father Laban, who told him in verse 26,
I cannot give you the younger before the firstborn.
So the next verse confirms the importance of the week-long honeymoon. So please read that, what Laban told Jacob.
Fulfill her week, and we will give you this one also, for the service which you will serve with me still another 7 years. Then Jacob did so and fulfilled her week. So he gave him his daughter Rachel as his wife also.
So our honeymoon must be for a period of seven, and in our case it's 7 years, not 3.5, like the mid-tribbers claim.
And the post-tribbers don't recognize a honeymoon at all.
Right. Bottom line, saints of God, knowing our roots from the first century and before is how we learn how it will be with us. That's why he set up all the customs and idioms so we would compare it to us. Mid and post-tribbers do not understand their first century Hebraic roots. Even many Messianic Jews don't understand their real roots from the first century, only what their father and grandfathers taught them that has changed through the years.
Yeah, you know, especially through the Dark Ages.
Yes, it did. Anyhow, to prove the bride was a virgin, and because all covenants were blood covenants, the marriage consummation must be proven by the blood-stained white linen cloth given to the young man at his betrothment from the father. They then remain in the Hadar for the rest of the 7 days while guests come and go until they come out of the chamber. She is now unveiled for all to see as they then return back to the young wife's previous home to announce it is official and stay for the reception and the marriage supper.
Now, that's a lot of typology.
Yep. Well, we too, at the end of our 7-year honeymoon in heaven, will return to earth, our previous home, Revelation 19. And from our studies, we conclude it will be on Yom Kippur with our husband, Yeshua, at the sound of the great trump.
Matthew 24:31.
And after he rids the earth of its evil in 5 days, we will partake in a gala event ushered in with the Feast of Tabernacles on Tishri 15 and enjoy the marriage supper of the Lamb right here as the Messianic Kingdom on earth begins.
Which also just happened to be on Jesus' earthly birthday.
Oh, so very detailed.
What about divorce?
Only for adultery. And likely be stoned to death. With Jesus, the only divorce is through spiritual adultery, which is blaspheming the Holy Spirit by denying Christ as your Savior, and that means spiritual death. Hebrews 6 also addresses that. But really, what true believer could do that? Otherwise, we believe in once saved, always saved, because Jesus died for all our sins, past, present, and yeah, future. But again, who would let that sacrifice be a license to deny him? If so, then the question is, are they really saved? Do they truly know him, as Matthew 7 suggests some might not know him personally? So be sure to know him personally, because it'll be worth it after all. We're going to play that song in a second. I'm going to leave you with the Aaronic blessing and then stick around for this song. And make sure you tell someone about Jesus. The Aaronic blessing, the Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her, you're going to prosper. And that's, of course, Psalm 122:6. So, till next time, if you're going through something really tough right now, just remember, it will be worth it after all.
We need our spirit-filled preachers to teach us right from wrong. We need our old-fashioned seekers who pray all night long. We need some good gospel singers to help us go another mile. The church will triumph, oh, and go home in a little while. It'll be worth it after all, child. It'll be worth it after all. After all these trials,
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.